going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Picking an appropriate gift for your child or perhaps someone else's child is hard enough these days. What do you buy the boys? And what do you buy the girls? But more and more these days, those questions are not being asked. Maybe the girls ask for a play toolkit. Maybe the boys want a kitchen set. And if that's the case, how do you handle those requests? What are your thoughts? Well, joining me to discuss this is Dr. Kimberly Campbell. She is a clinical psychologist, and we want to open up the phones to find out what you happen to think about this issue. Gender-specific gifts for your children. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Campbell, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Let's first lay the groundwork here. How would we define a gender-specific toy or gift?
So gender-specific toys are those that, if you would think of masculine and feminine, the things that are adjectives that you think of associated with being masculine and being feminine. And so toys related to that for boys tend to be aggressive types of toys, guns, violent toys, whereas toys related to girls or feminine toys tend to be toys like dolls, toys that accentuate attractiveness, toys related to nurturing activities and cooking.
Mm-hmm. Like when you and I were growing up, I might get the G.I. Joe with a Kung Fu grip.
Correct.
And you get?
I'd get the baby doll.
Right. Malibu Barbie or, mm-hmm. L.A. Barbie.
Ken came later.
Ken came later.
But Malibu Barbie was definitely in the Christmas, on the Christmas list.
Malibu Barbie, Compton Kelly, whatever right. It happens to be.
So if you think about toys related to fighting and aggression, such as soldiers and guns, that tends to be more masculine related toys or gender toys.
And this is the way things have kind of been as it relates to children since toys were invented, pretty much.
I would imagine so. Yeah. Things are changing.
And that's the thing. Things are beginning to change quite a bit. We are now seeing what, instead of maybe considered gender-specific toys, we may be seeing gender-neutral toys or gifts. And in some modern parenting, it may include, some parents may buy their girls a basketball, mm-hmm. a football. They may buy, the boys a kitchen set. Mm-hmm. But what do you recommend to parents whose children, as they begin to make decisions about the kind of toys that they like, when they want something that may not necessarily be pink? Or something that is necessarily blue, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And they may struggle with that.
I think the parents are struggling with that. The mm-hmm. children are not. Mm. So the parents should support the child's interests and passions, remembering that all toys help children develop skills, motor skills, gross and fine motor skills, interpersonal skills, learning how to relate to other people. And so however a child needs to do that, it should be up to the child. So you follow the child's lead. Mm-hmm. But parents tend to impose their own ideas about what children need to play with rather than listening to the child. Children are going to be who they are no matter what.
But what about parents who say, well, it's my job to shape and mold this child into the image that I want this child to be. That's my responsibility as a parent.
It sure is. Socialization and social is is the parent's responsibility, but there are many ways that parents do that. So your child lives in your home. They don't live in a vacuum. So they see gender roles get played out each and every day in their home. They see gender roles get played out in school. They see gender roles get played out on television. So there are many other opportunities for kids to learn gender-specific roles. If your child is saying, though, that, yeah, I see that most boys want to play with G.I. Joe, but I kind of like the puzzles, then you support that. You know, I also think that, you know, if we want our girls to go into STEM fields, we have to give our girls rocket puzzles and toy models of ships and planes and chemistry sets so that we can expose them earlier to the field.
But puzzles aren't necessarily, but all kids have puzzles.
Puzzles are gender neutral.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a, that's gender neutral. And I would also argue that the e-games now,
the video games,
as it were, initially, that was something that was pretty much the domain of boys. But now, girls are—I would argue—is equally the same.
They're interested as much.
Yeah, they're interested. Although probably more grown men are
playing those.
Yeah, I think I may have missed that. But
202. Yeah, I think we're a little too old for that.
20. Speak for yourself. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we are discussing gender specific or gender neutral toys and gifts for children. Is it time for us to stop considering those terms for the gifts that we buy? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Adrian, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. Good evening, everybody. Considering that I've been spending a lot more time working with elementary school kids, I think a lot of this gender-neutral thing is going way too far. If parents are, like, concerned, to me, I see the best alternative, if parents are concerned about what type of toys to buy their kids, just buy them something that's just basic learning. And then at the times, the opportunities where you could take your kid into the store and maybe a treat or something like that, let them pick whatever toy they want. Because if you throw a group of boys and girls in a room, they're going to naturally self-select. But when we start saying, oh, everything has to be gender neutral, the kids are buying in too much into these messages with everything. And I think it's going to the extreme now.
When you say they're buying into the gender neutral thing, what have you observed as that would determine or suggest to you that they are buying into it?
Well, one, for the point, you almost to the point where, like, when you go into an elementary school setting, you can't even say boy and girl anymore. You have to be careful with that because there's so many kids that are going, doing transgender and all this other kind of stuff. Like, one year they might be one thing. Next year they come back, they're looking like a more of the opposite sex. And it's like the kids are to the point where they're so sensitive about every little thing now. And I think it's because they're feeding into the messages and they're getting the messages at their formative years that we're feeding them. Adults are feeding them.
Okay.
So they're not even developing normally or just naturally. They're buying into these messages and saying, okay, that's how we're supposed to be. Oh, no, you can't say that. You can't call this one a boy. You can't call that one a girl.
Interesting.
I'm like, let them do what they're supposed to do, and nature will play it out, you know?
Well, thank you, Adrian. Thank you so much for your comment. So Adrian was making a lot of different points there, and even the last thing she said where nature kind of plays it out, that phrase in and of itself suggests that maybe it is, or is it?
maybe it is or isn't what
playing out with children, as far as she said, as they are trying to identify themselves as it relates to gender. She said they are buying in. Are parents who may not be defining their children with, you know, pronouns, are they influencing the children? Do you think the children? I mean, difficult issue.
Yeah, I think her point about children self-selecting is probably a good one and true. What I do know is that when children decide who they want to be, if they're not supported in that, they will have psychological issues that are quite serious in their upbringing and as they become adults.
Such as?
So this is a totally different subject. Suicide rate, the suicide rate is very high among transgender children and young people. It's really kind of off the charts. And so I think that was the point that she was alluding to, that somehow parents are contributing to this. What I will say is that if parents don't support who a child identifies themselves to be, then they are setting their child up for having significant mental health problems.
So let's go back to the gifts.
But we're talking about gifts today.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, the issue of gifts is just part of the overarching issue of how parents are helping to identify their children, or how the children are identifying themselves, even in what they play. I'll give you an example. Okay. We now have something called the WNBA. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Women playing professional basketball. Years ago, decades ago, the thought in some parts of society of women playing professional basketball was really kind of taboo. That's not what girls do. That's not what boys do. Well, now we know, based on where we are right now, that it is not only what girls do, but it is what women do. But if someone...
And women can do it quite well.
Yeah, they do it quite well.
They can win championships here in D.C.
And we can talk about the dunk thing, but that's something different. But look, I can't dunk, so there's that. But if someone at some point didn't give the women
a basketball,
mm-hmm. which traditionally was considered a boy's toy, mm-hmm. then, and they were shunned for it, we would not have, for example, the WNBA. We would not have the NCAA, women's basketball championship, mm-hmm. Division I, II, whatever.
Right. I think parents need to support their kids. They need to observe their kids and support whatever skill set their kids are showing. So if you have a girl and you're watching them play with a whole bunch of boys on the playground, and you see that this girl is outrunning all the other boys, then that young lady probably needs to be directed into sports in some way, shape, or form. If you see a boy who has particular facility mixing things, right, maybe in the kitchen, support that. Culinary chefs, they make pretty decent livings, right?
Mm-hmm. And they eat well.
And you know you're always going to get a good meal when you go to your child's house. So support your child in whatever area that they are showing a passion in.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about gender neutral or gender specific gifts. Is it time to stop thinking like that as it relates to the kind of gifts that we give to our children? Let us talk to Isaiah, calling from D.C. Isaiah, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Isaiah, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Donna. Donna, calling from Upper Marlboro. Donna, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm here. I had two thoughts. One was around the video games as I was growing up in the 80s. So we had like Galaga and Miss Pac, you know, Pac-Man and Q-Bert. Like they weren't, they were more gender neutral, I feel like, then than maybe they are now. But as far as the toys and things, I think a huge issue to bring into the conversation is toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's less of an issue of giving a girl a basketball than a boy a kitchen set or a doll. And so if my dad was the cook in the family, like he's the one that was always cooking. And so if my brother saw that and he wanted to cook, it would be a problem society-wise to see my little brother playing with a kitchen set. But if that was the role or part of the role that he saw, you know, his father playing, then why would that be an issue? I think society would say that it was a problem, less than kind of the parents supporting his passion. So I think like there's a societal norm and toxic masculinity that kind of plays a big part in holding those gender lines.
Donna, thank you so much. She makes a really interesting point, and I want to drill down just a little bit more about that point, because if we look at, for example, the history of advertisement when during the advent of television, all of the commercials that you saw about anything having to do with food in the kitchen meant that the women cooked and the men ate. And yet, then and pretty much even now, most chefs are men. Which is really, really fascinating to me, because while these aren't necessarily gifts or toys, but these are gender roles that have been defined by the greater society. But at some point, a whole bunch of men said, I'm going to get into the kitchen. I want you to talk about that on the other side. I need to take a break. Also, DJ calling from Upper Marlboro and Chris calling from Woodbridge. We will be talking to you next, so please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Lines are still open as we are finding out what you think about gender-specific or gender-neutral gifts for our children. What does that mean? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about gender-specific gift-giving or gender-neutral gift-giving. Is it time to reconsider it? My guest is Dr. Kimberly Campbell. She's a clinical psychologist. Lines are open if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, what about that, Dr. Campbell, when we talk about what society has said was appropriate and the reality in the example that I used about advertisements and women in the kitchen, but men are the ones who are professionally in the kitchen. Mm.
Society has evolved, right? And so women are working until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. So when do they have time to be in the kitchen? So it may be that men need to be in the kitchen and are in the kitchen so that the children can eat. When gender roles were more fixed back in the 30s and the 40s, and the advertisements had women with aprons on, you know, greeting the husbands at the door when they came home from work with a dust feather in their hand. You know, those days are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are gone. And so society has evolved, and our perspectives on toys are going to evolve with it. Now, I have to say, I personally have evolved. I have two sons, and I can honestly say I did not buy my sons a baby doll, you know. But they didn't ask, but mm-hmm. they had kitchen sets, and they played with them. The school that they went to taught them how to fold clothes, and so I bought them things that would reinforce the things that were traditionally women's roles.
Mm-hmm.
So because I needed them to grow up and be young men and be independent and not rely on women to do the things that they are capable of doing, even if those things were traditionally seen as being roles that women played.
So when you visit your sons, do they still have clothes lying all over the house? Sometimes.
I will not answer that. They may be listening.
Yeah, you punted on that.
They would not want me to call them out on that.
Mom failed on that one, right?
But they do know how to fold and wash and separate their darks from their lights.
There we go. That's definitely another show. Let me go back. Right, let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Chris, calling from Woodbridge. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, good evening. My name is Trent from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Go right ahead, please.
And my real take on it is, you know, they make toys for boys, they make toys for girls, and that should be the direction that we lead our families into.
Why do you say that?
Old school. Because if you give a baby boy a doll baby, he starts doing girl things. And you don't want, you know, when I was in the military, they taught us how to fold clothes, wash clothes, do KP. And you don't have to have a doll baby to get you into that mold.
Mm-hmm.
It's a survival mold. That's what I'm saying. And I don't want my girls, you know, with no hammers and nails, because that's not how I see it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gender for a specific reason. You know, they make boy toys, they make girl toys. Otherwise, they would make gender-neutral toys.
So if your girl is in her apartment and she needs to put up a picture frame, but she's never had a hammer or a nail in her hand, when will she have learned to do that?
That's what the maintenance man is for. She called a maintenance man, she called a brother, she called me.
Okay.
I think sisters are doing it for themselves these days.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, and while, you know, I hear you, Trent, one of the things that I think beyond hammers and nails. There are very, very feminine women that can put in floors in their own homes, that can change tires, that can not just hammer and nail, but can use levels, and they can mm-hmm. And they can paint, and they can do it all. And to be quite honest, not all of us are blessed with Trents as fathers or brothers or uncles. Sometimes they don't have maintenance men around, and who wants to wait?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing can be said for those things, such as cooking.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't cook, are you suggesting that if a man cannot cook, are you suggesting that he call his maintenance woman or his sister or his mother to cook for him?
Uber Eats,
he said.
Okay. Trent, thank you so
thank
much.
You very
and we
much.
Can end that right there. Let me go back to the phone lines. DJ calling for Upper Marlboro.
Trent's got money.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. DJ, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just have a question. When do you draw the line? I can't remember the name of the show, but I saw on television where this couple were saying that their son is 4 and he wants to wear lip gloss and makeup and he wants to play with Barbie. And they were saying he just started one day and said, this is what I want to do, and I want to wear girls' clothing. He did not want to wear boys' clothing at all. So when do you draw the line?
Children go through phases. And so I think the parent needs to let the child work through that themselves and allow that phase, if it is a phase, to play itself out.
Because if the boy were wearing panties, like flowery panties, so that I'm a boy and I want to be a girl at 4 years old.
So it sounds like you're mixing concepts a little bit, because he could still be a boy and want to wear flowery pants, right? So his sex and how he expresses his gender are two different issues. Yeah. And that's a whole nother conversation.
And I think also, you know, in use of the phrase drawing the line, one of the things that we spoke about in the very beginning is that as time goes on, even as parenting is defining where the line should be, or even if there is a line, what may be considered a societal norm has moved the line. Mm-hmm. It has blurred the line. It has, in some cases, eradicated the line, which is a huge conversation. And I'll say this. Because when we were, you know, kind of knocking around this idea, one of the things in the newsroom that we were discussing, and I brought this up, in some restaurants, you will go to the washroom, to the restroom, and they will have a gender-neutral bathroom. Mm-hmm. It may say, there may be a male symbol and a female symbol, and so the whole gender-neutral bathroom is a relatively new idea. Mm-hmm. But before that issue came up, if you went to a restaurant that had one bathroom, because it was a small restaurant, the bathroom was gender-neutral, even if it didn't say that it was. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this
is... Well, think about Starbucks. All their bathrooms are.
Yeah, or busboys and poets, you know, for example. I think there may be an issue with a bathroom where there may be four stalls and gender neutral. And, yeah, I think that some people may call into question, if you have a man in one stall and a woman in one stall, somebody's going to feel uncomfortable. But that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
But what I'm talking about is a bathroom that may just have, you know, one toilet, one sink. But it's still considered, in other words, the person coming out is a woman, the person going in is a man, but there's a lock on it.
The toilet at a rest stop.
Yeah.
Often that.
There you go. DJ, thank you so much for giving us a call.
You know, what I would say is that parents need to keep in mind, what do they want their kids to learn, right? What are they trying to develop in their children? Their physical skills, their intellectual skills, their artistic skills, their communication skills, their interpersonal skills. There are toys that capture those skills in each area. It doesn't really matter whether they are perceived as masculine or feminine. The role of the parent is to make sure that the child is developing that skill set.
Timothy, calling from Leesburg. Thanks for calling, Timothy. What's on your mind?
Well, I agree with some things on both sides, but I'm so blessed to be, when I was raised within the 60s, I was born in 1962, and I was fortunate enough to live with my great-grandfather, grandmother, grandmother, and my mom raised me, because my biological father didn't exist in my life. And my mother taught me how to fold clothes. My mother taught me how to iron. I learned things from my grandmother, how to cook. My stepfather and my sister and I, we're just a year apart, and I'm the elder of us two. I played with doll babies with her. She played with my drum set. You know, and when I got into junior high school, my stepdad, which is my sister's biological father, which is basically my father, too, he would not allow me to do auto mechanics in school. He told me he wanted me to take home economics. For this reason alone, because a lot of women or young girls or whatever aren't taught to cook, aren't taught to clean. I keep an immaculate place. I have three sons and a daughter. My mother can get out there and put a starter on her car because it wasn't so gender, oh, women shouldn't do this or a man shouldn't do that. It was a mutual thing of survival of the family. So mm-hmm. if my grandmother wasn't there or my mother was there because she worked two jobs, my sister and I and my dad wasn't there, we could cook for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And you are self-sufficient because of it, right?
In every way I tried to be.
There mm-hmm. you go. Timothy, thank you so much for sharing that with me. And this brings up another thing, because even though Timothy was talking about life skills, mm-hmm. I would argue that gender-specific or gender-neutral toys and gifts for young children may direct them along the path of developing life skills. And we can talk about we can look at the Hidden Figures movie, and we can also look at, as you mentioned earlier, about women, for example, that are just going gangbusters in high tech. Mm-hmm. And in science, mm-hmm. whether they are fighter pilots, mm-hmm. whether they are nuclear physicists,
coders,
biochemists, mm-hmm. what have you. And it wasn't too long ago that girls, because of gender-specific gifts or toys, were not getting the kind of toys that would eventually help parents figure out, you know, can Sally count? Okay. Mm. Or will she be, a writer or an artist? They gave them gender specific toys and you know, the little Sallys and what have you. They had to break through that, through those stereotypical gender roles in school to figure out where their skills and talents were.
Well, and let me say this, Sally, who only got the doll baby or the Barbie that you tried to make as beautiful as you could with lipstick and hair ornaments and what have you, what is the message that girl gets from that particular enterprise, from that particular toy? I say that message is that attractiveness and beauty becomes a value. And do we really want girls to have that as a value? You know, what happens as they grow older and their physical features change? Women in this society are objectified. They're only seen for their physical features, and their inner beauty and skills that you can't see are minimized. And so when we only give girls those kinds of dolls that promote those types of values, that girl is missing out on so much more of who she is.
Here's another example of a toy that could very well shape the skill and career of a girl. When I was growing up, girls would often get nursing toys, mm-hmm, toys mm-hmm, that yeah. that
doctor sets.
No, and that's my point.
Oh,
they would get toys that were nurse sets, but not doctor sets. And so girls were often, groomed mm-hmm. by parents to be nurses, mm-hmm. but not necessarily doctors.
Mm-hmm. So relegated to more subservient positions, professionally.
Or limiting them. And this is not...
I mean, not that nursing is an excellent field. Men, women, we need more nurses of Lord both knows. Genders.
But and that's not to say that nurses are less than.
Right.
But I think that anyone listening would understand the point that I'm making, where girls were not given the option to even play the doctor, only to play the nurse. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think that, you know, often when we would have conversations, and I'm talking years ago with boys, the boys were told you're going to be, you know, a doctor or a lawyer or what have you. But the girls were not necessarily told that. Certainly these things are very different now.
Yeah, I'm hoping we're giving different messages
exactly,
now.
Exactly, which goes back to the evolution of these things. And so I think that one of the things that in this discussion, no matter how you think about it, even the subtlety of evolving on this issue may give parents, grandparents, uncles, and aunts pause when they are doing the shopping, mm-hmm. and what what they may give, even if it's something, again, that may be very, very subtle. Yes, traditionally boys got the Legos and the building blocks, but now Legos and building blocks are for everyone.
They're for everyone, right? And you know, if you want your boys to grow up to be sensitive men, to interact in relationships on an emotional level, mm-hmm. then you have to begin to socialize them to be emotional and sensitive and nurturing when they are boys.
So in that particular way, what toy or gift might we give boys to understand that they should be empathetic to you know, two girls and grow up to be empathetic.
Animals are good toys in that way.
Or gifts. Yeah.
Right. So
you mean animal toys?
Animal
toys or real animals,
mm-hmm. right? Because you have to care for them. You cuddle them. You nurture them. Kitchen sets. And even toys like what you were saying, the doctor kit. Mm-hmm. Because you are taking care of someone with a doctor kit, mm-hmm. right? Or I don't even know what a nurse kit is. I only had the doctor kit, so I don't know what the nurse kit looks like.
And I say that because I do. I remember that the nurses, the nurse kits, there may have been some kind of, you know, some kind of dress with the little
hat
that was nursing specific, female specific, but the boys got the white coat.
I see.
You see, and that's and even though that's, you know, that's really, you know, subtle. Mm-hmm. Let us say that this Christmas someone were to find themselves giving that kind of gift to a brother or a sister, and the girl says, "Why can't I wear the white coat?" Mm-hmm. That's the teachable moment, perhaps, for parents, where you know you may say, "You can
wear the white coat." I think the message from parents needs to be, whether you are male, female, or anything in between, the sky is the limit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And follow your dream, follow your passion.
And one of the other things, and this is kind of an aside to this, because my daughter is 21, and she's a girly girl. But one of the things that...
You said that kind of begrudgingly.
No, not at all. No, I mean, it was more like matter of fact. She's a girly girl. My daughter's great, you know. She's wonderful. But when she was growing up, her favorite color was purple. Uh-huh. And I don't mean lavender. Uh-huh. I mean
a deep purple.
Dark purple. And so I asked her one particular, I think it was for her birthday. What do you want for your birthday? She said, I want, and she was little. Mm-hmm. She was maybe 5 years old. And she said, I want purple carpet in my bedroom. Ooh, really? Because when you're talking about issues, deep dark purple is not traditionally something that girls pick. They pick pastels and stuff like that. At least that's what I was used to seeing. And so I would ask, well, why do you want purple? I like purple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the only room in my house with purple. what baby wants, baby gets. Yeah. You know, and so she, and then in her bedroom, that there's that purple carpet.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about evolving, and I'm not saying that the choice of purple is good or bad. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Dark purple is no longer her favorite color.
Mm.
And it was not her favorite color for much longer. And so I'm thinking, considering what I paid for the purple carpet, I could have done beige.
Remember, I was talking about
right.
phases.
Exactly.
It was a phase.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Now her favorite color is black.
Right.
Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I remember being intentional about the color of my kids' nursery.
How so?
I didn't want it to be pink or blue. I wanted it to be a color that could transcend whatever sex my child or children were. And so the nursery had, it was multicolored. And it was, that was a purposeful decision that I made, because I think early on I really had a strong feeling about my kids not seeing gender roles as being so fixed, and those subtleties like color feeds into that, right? Blue is for boys, pink is for girls, boys run and play and climb trees, girls stay in the house
and
comb
tea.
Hair and you know, have tea and crumpets, you know. It could be kind of boring as I'm saying that. It sounds actually more like it would be more fun to be outside running and climbing trees, mm-hmm. although kids don't want to do that so much anymore now. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, on a personal note, yeah, I did a lot of tree climbing until I fell out of the tree and hurt myself. Now I'm like, give me the tea. But
right. But you had to learn it first.
Yeah, you had to learn that right. first. But you know, as a clinical psychologist, and I mean professionally, when did you begin to evolve, and did you begin to see an evolution in, you know, perhaps clients or some of the work that you've been doing in your field? When did you begin to notice this evolution?
That's a good question. In terms of time, probably. I've been working now since 1990, probably about 10, 15 years ago. I think I've become aware of the evolution within myself and the way I see things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, with my own sons, I didn't think about giving them the baby doll that cries tears. Yet, I knew it was important for them to understand how to be nurturing and caring and loving and tap into their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not suggesting that grandchildren are on the horizon, but one day.
You mean grandchildren for you?
For me.
Let's put it
one
out
One day.
There.
I don't want to put that energy out there yet because my sons are single.
Oh, well, they're
so I need them to have more going on. But, you know, I think for my grandchildren, you know, I may approach it a little differently.
Would you speak to your sons about approaching it a little differently?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think my sons have seen just in their own home non-traditional gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it I don't think for them it would be too far of a stretch. But I came up in the 60s. And gender roles were very fixed,
mm-hmm.
As were the toys that supported the gender role.
And to that point, because a lot of this discussion has been about the impact of these of gender neutral or gender specific toys on the children. But your final thoughts about what parents should be thinking about now and the impact of making these decisions on them.
On the parents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what do you think that parents should now be considering, whether, particularly if they were, raised in quote-unquote traditional households,
mm-hmm.
and now they have, maybe they have, children, coming up or even grandchildren. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to them?
Parents' jobs are to socialize their children so that they can function independently in society. So that means they have to have the children have to have a wide range of skills, financial literacy, ability to communicate, interpersonal sensitivity, and so to name a few things, right? And so anything that a parent can do to foster that development is what a parent should do and follow the lead of their children. Their children's interests, like your daughter, children's interests will change.
Mm-hmm.
One minute they like karate, the next minute they want to play lacrosse.
Exactly.
Right? And that could be for boys and girls. And so support their interests wherever they are in the moment and just ride it out.
And I think probably the most important thing, and it's something that you had even suggested, is for parents that are thinking about buying, gender-neutral, gender-specific toys, get them a toy that, like your son's, teaches them how to fold clothes.
<That's right. laughs>
And we'll see how that works out.
See how it works out.
I want to thank you, Dr. Kimberly Campbell, for coming in and talking to us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to be back at my alma mater.
Well, there you go. Always good to have you back at the Mecca. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, December 13th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.